The drive across LA to Alex's old bar in Koreatown takes me a couple hours. I take the surface street since the 10 is jammed as usual. I don't know if the bar is still open or if Tabitha is even working there, but it's the best lead I've got at the moment. It takes a little while to find it. When I finally figure out where it is, it's no wonder I missed it. It's still a bar, but it's changed. A lot. The simple black storefront has been replaced with bright pink and blue trim. Got a flashy new sign to go with a flashy new name, Candy Kitty. It's hideous. I start looking for a parking spot, spy one on the other side of the street. I split across lanes between a FedEx truck and an F-150 with a bed full of day laborers. If it wasn't for how out of place it was between those two, I might not have seen the white Bentley coming up behind them. LA's a car town with more luxury vehicles than just about any other city, but even here a Bentley's a rarity. Maybe I'm just hypersensitive to it because of last night. Is this one Kettleman's? If it is, what the hell is it doing here? The new tattoo should be blocking any new tracking spells. Maybe the magic just hasn't had time to set. I can still feel it sinking into my skin. I'm probably just being paranoid, but paranoia has kept me alive more times than I can count. The Bentley's a couple of cars behind me, and I can't see through the tinted windshield. I slow down enough to give it a chance to catch up to me. If it's the guy from last night, I want to know, and the only way I could think of to do that is to see if he does something to give himself away. Looks like I'll be giving the bar a pass. I hang a left on a side street and slow down to see if the Bentley keeps up. It does. That doesn't prove anything, so I head a couple of more blocks, make another left, and another. Sure enough, Bentley's right there behind me. After a few minutes, the driver doesn't even try to pretend he's not following me. I head east on Normandy and then cut up toward Wilshire. What I need to do is get him off my ass, figure out how he tracked me down later. But that might be harder than it sounds. Traffic is heavy. Slow going, and I'm not sure I'm going to be able to shake the Bentley.
You're not going to lose her.
Shit!
Watch you, asshole!
The Mercedes swerves, and I almost take out a guy on a bike before I get the car back under control. This time, instead of some disembodied voice whispering in my ear, Alex is sitting right there in the passenger seat wearing the same clothes he died in.
You don't say.
Yep, too much traffic. No room to maneuver. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know.
No, you're not. Are you even real?
What do you think?
I don't know what to think. He's not pegging any of my ghost radar. What if I touch him and he's solid? What if he's not? I've lived my entire life able to see things no one else can, but I've always been sure that they were there, even if I didn't know what they were. And this is no different.
I think it doesn't really matter at the moment.
I turn my attention back to the road.
So, you're not me having a psychotic break. Wait, you said her. How do you know the driver's a woman? I can't see past the tinted windows.
You sure? How do you know you didn't catch a view of her in the rear view and your subconscious just suppressed it?
And why would it do that?
Self-loathing? Guilt? The fuck should I know? It's your subconscious. I think it's guilt. And you did put a bullet in my brain after all. Remember? It looked like this.
His head explodes in a shower of blood and bone, leaving a ragged stump. I flinch from the spray as the inside of the car is painted in red, and this time I do lose control of the car, pop it up onto the curb, and almost take out a street sign. Blood drips from the ceiling, covers the windshield in a thick layer of red, coats my face. A split second later, it's all gone. Alex, the blood, the bits of bone and brain, but the taste of blood in my mouth is still there, thick, coppery. Shaking, I get the car off the curb, ease it back into traffic, ignore the honking horns around me. God damn it! I'm not sure which pisses me off more, the possibility that something is fucking with me or that I'm fucking with myself. The Bentley in my rearview pulls me back to the problem at hand. Whoever the fuck the driver is, Alex was right. I'm not going to lose him in this traffic. If this were a different city, I'd get out of the car and disappear in a crowd on foot. Only, LA is not a city of walkers. There aren't any crowds to get lost in. Or maybe there are. A flash of a memory that isn't mine hits me and my vision blurs for a second before clearing. The accompanying headache isn't great, but sometimes having these ghost memories can actually be useful. There's a train station nearby on Wilshire. I've never been there, but some ghost I pulled in when Alex died has. Whoever it was must have been a transplant because I get the accompanying thought that LA calling their trains a subway is adorable. Not a lot of people use it, but there might be enough that I can blend into the crowd. I turn onto Wilshire, head back the way I came. I get a little distance between me and the Bentley, hug the curb, wait until I see the station on my right, then I swerve the Mercedes into the fender of a taxi cab.
What the hell, man?
I jump out of the car and bolt for the Wilshire Normandy station. Behind me, I hear the Bentley screech to a stop, the horns of pissed off drivers blaring. This close, and I can see the driver. Alex was right. It's a woman with short blonde hair glaring at me from behind the wheel. pale, high cheekbones, too much makeup. I run to the station entrance, waving at her as she gets out of the car in the middle of the street. I push my way down the escalator, past beneath the mural of a parade that curves around the station entrance, down past the ticket machines. They run on the honor system down here, and nobody stops me as I run down to the platform just as a train is pulling into the station. The crowd is heavy enough for my purposes. I push my way past them and get to the back of the final car.
Next stop is Wilshire, Vermont.
I start to congratulate myself on giving the driver the slip, figuring that I can get off at the next stop, steal another car, and be on my way, when she steps on at the other end of the car just as the doors close. The train pulls out of the station with a lurch. I was hoping I'd get a head start and lose her. Now it looks like my best bet is to keep my distance and take the train all the way to Union, where the crowd will be the biggest. There are about 20 people in this car, surveillance cameras, cell phones, maybe even a plainclothes cop or two. She's not going to try anything until we get out of here.
Eric Carter!
And then she goes out of her way to prove me wrong. I can't quite place her accent. Russian? But it's clear she's looking at me standing here at the back of the car, and everybody's attention snaps between us as they try to figure out what's going on.
Got the wrong guy, lady!
I look at a skater standing next to me.
I have no idea who she is.
He edges away from me.
I'm going to skin you alive!
She pulls a disturbingly familiar-looking obsidian blade out of her jacket pocket. Now she's really got everyone's attention. Most people are edging out of the way, though a few are getting out of their seats. A lot of texting and taking pictures. She glares at the train passengers, sweat beading on her forehead, eyes wide.
Stay out of my way and I won't kill you too!
I get the distinct impression that she's just bitten off more than she can chew.
Calm down, ma'am.
The guy nearest her edges closer to her, not taking his eyes off the knife.
I'm sure we can work out whatever—
She slashes the knife out at him, though he's far too away for it to hit him. He takes the hint and stops moving. The next stop comes up really soon, and I've got a full car between me and her. All I need to do is wait and make sure she doesn't make a move. At this point, the cops will grab her the moment she steps off the train. They'll ask me some questions, I'll tell them I don't know who the fuck she is, and not have to worry about her for a little while. She must sense this, because a look of panic desperation crawls across her face like a swarm of cockroaches.
You're all in my way. I don't want to kill you, but you're all in my way!
Uh-oh. I can tell this is about to get very, very messy. I start to draw in power from the local pool, just in case I need it. She doesn't seem to notice that I'm drawing in power. That's one surefire way to tell if a mage is in the area. We can all feel when somebody pulls power from the pool. Can she even cast? She digs her free hand into a pocket and pulls out a small slip of crumpled paper, smooths it against her pant leg. She's visibly shaking now. Once she has it straightened out, she lets it go. It flutters to the floor. Paper charms are some of the easiest to make. You can embed all kinds of spells onto paper. Love charms, alarms, wards. I use them all the time as Sharpies and Hello My Name Is stickers to get people to think I'm someone else, think I'm someplace I'm not, or not pay attention to me at all. If you're skilled enough and powerful enough, you can pack a paper charm with some pretty serious shit. And with that look of screaming panic on the woman's face, I can't imagine this one's anything good. Between the fact that she's pulled a prepared charm and that she hasn't drawn any power from the pool, I at least have an answer to one question. She's not the guy I ran into last night wearing some woman's skin. This might not be her real body, but at least I know I'm dealing with two different people. I don't give the paper a chance to hit the ground. I can't reach it all the way over here, and I doubt I would want to. Instead, I throw out a shield that, hopefully, will protect me from the worst of the nastiness it's about to unleash. I feel a flare of magic in the train car when the paper hits the floor. The slip flares like flash paper, and a sudden inferno of green fire engulfs the car. The flames explode through the enclosed space, rushing past everyone and everything, though nothing ignites. Instead, the lights in the car flicker and die, the windows blow out, cell phones spark, the train's cameras explode. I feel a force of her spells slam against my shield, pushing me hard against the wall of the car, the spectral flames trying to burn through my defenses. Passengers jerk in their seats, convulse like they're having grand mal seizures, fall limp in their seats, or hit the floor. I feel every one of their deaths. The sensation of their collective dying is a punch in the gut, their souls separating from their bodies, a hammer blow I wasn't expecting. One or two dead I feel like a pinprick in the back of my mind, easy to ignore. But 30 in one shot leaves me reeling, forces me to my knees. A few cast off ghosts as they die, confused, unfocused. The rest are just gone. A second later, it's all over. The train continues on its way. Only things alive in the car are me and the Russian woman at the other end. We stand there, staring at each other a moment. both of us shocked into silence.
They were in the way.
Hell of a rationalization for mass murder. Jesus.
My vision goes out of focus, and I don't know if it's an after effect of some of her spell getting through my defenses, or because I've never been around such a massive die-off. She starts to walk down the aisle towards me, eyes unfocused.
I'm going to throw you out onto the tracks. Then I'm going to drag you into a dark corner and skin you alive. Take your power. Take your memories. Take everything you are.
I get the distinct impression that she's not talking to me so much as thinking out loud. Dizzy and unsteady, I get to my feet.
Yeah, I don't think I'm down with that plan. I don't know who the fuck you are, lady. Or why you and your boyfriend have such a hard-on for DIY taxidermy, but you really should have done your homework before you decided to screw with me.
Her attention snaps onto me out of whatever sick daydream she was having.
Look at you. You can barely stand. What are you going to do?
Look up the word necromancer sometime.
Used to be a time where this would have taken me days of preparation and thousands of dollars in materials. But after I hooked up with Santa Muerte, whether it's because I have some of her power or if it's because I unlocked more of my own, things changed. Now what I'm planning is a little more than a thought. It's more complicated than I've tried before. After all, 30 people is a lot, but the principle is the same. I throw out my magic, latch onto the tiny lingering bits of life left in all those corpses, and squeeze. Something inside me tears, a cold burning inside my chest I've never felt before, driving me back to the floor. Panic runs through me. Am I having a heart attack? Or have I pushed myself too far this time? Maybe I finally run too much juice through the pipes and this is me burning out. But the magic doesn't fade and I don't die, so I figure I've got at least a couple of minutes to finish what I started. I push the tendrils of unseen force, threads of pure will wrapping around all of these poor bastards who went from commuters to hunks of meat in the blink of an eye. I reach out through those threads, feel their last thoughts, their final panicked moments, care of this crazy bitch. She walks toward me, picking her way gingerly past the corpses. I can't tell if she's fully realized what she's done, whether she's freaking out because of me or all the bodies she's just created. How about we make it about both? The hand of one of the corpses, a slack-jawed, empty-eyed girl slumped back in her seat, reaches out and grabs the hem of her sleeve. The woman jerks back, slashing at the body with a knife. The arm doesn't let go. I don't let it let go. She pulls away, stepping back into another dead commuter who wraps her in his arms. She screams and stabs back at it, the blade sinking into dead flesh. I bring another corpse up from the floor like I'm pulling on a marionette strings, then another, and another, and another. She's frantic now, punching and kicking, one arm pinned, the other desperately trying to push the corpses away. The knife is useless. She can barely move it with all the dead meat hanging off of her. So this is what it's like to have an undead army.
Get them off!
Tears are pouring out of her eyes. If she wasn't totally off the rails before, she sure as hell is now. She'll have nightmares for years. Not that I'm going to let her. The train's coming into the station. I sure as hell don't want to be here when it does. Being the last survivor on a train full of corpses is a recipe for getting shot at by LAPD, and being asked too many questions I can't answer. So far, I only have the corpses weighing her down, holding her in place. But that's not enough. Not for me, and sure as hell, not for them. The pain in my chest is spreading, and I'm still not convinced it isn't a massive coronary. Though the vertigo is passing, I'm still having trouble standing. I head up the aisle toward her, thinking I should grab that knife.
Beltran, come on.
Crap!
Instead, I edge toward the door as the train breaks. I have one of the corpses pull the rear doors apart. Time to leave. Once I'm gone, the corpses won't be moving long, but it'll be long enough. Push out my will with all the fury and anger I can to fill those empty brains.
Kill her.
I jump.